Okay. The scripture for today is from the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, "My servant Moses is dead. Now proceed to cross the Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the Israelites. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and the Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, the great sea in the west, shall be your territory. No one shall be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall put this people in possession of the land that I swore to their ancestors to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to act in accordance with the law that my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may be successful wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to act in accordance with all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall be successful. I hereby command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Scripture of the Lord.
Well, it's certainly good to be back after 3 months of being away on this sabbatical time. For me, it was a time to be in the mountains, time to be in the forest, and a time to be in and around the ocean. So those are the three dimensions. I got to see and spend quite a bit of time in the Rockies, which I hadn't done before. Mostly hiking, so lots of hiking in wonderful places. This country of Canada is so amazing. My brother Earl, as you know, he and his wife were traveling this whole year, and they spent quite a bit of time, all over the place, Africa, Southeast Asia, Europe. And when they finally got back to Canada, they were saying, "Oh, wow, it's very nice to be back home. Canada's a great place." And out in the prairies, of course, they've got lots of space. So he says, "Oh, man, I like the space. Nobody around me." So it is a great country. And the Rockies are great. The rainforest on the West Coast is amazing. And, of course, the ocean. Well, you've heard we talk about the ocean a lot, so I don't need to go on about that. One little story, there's an island off of Tofino. Tofino's on the west coast of Vancouver Island. You got Euclid in the south and Tofino a little bit farther up. And there's an island off of Tofino called Mears Island. And Mears Island has a First Nations indigenous group. And it's interesting that the town that is on Mears Island is the longest continually populated town in North America. Goes back 5,000 years. People have been continually in that little town on Mears Island. And the reason for that, it is just so amazing. There's so much life. There is fish and there is bears, there's whatever there. It's interesting that a missionary group came to Mears Island back in the mid-1800s with cows. And this town on Mears Island said, like, what are we going to do with these cows? We don't need cows. We've got everything we possibly need. Well, no, these cows are going to be really help. You milk them and you get all kinds of stuff. It'd be great. They never did want the cows. So they just let the cows go wild. And it's interesting, on Mir's Island, there is a wild herd of cows that goes back 150 years, and enough, it's strong enough that they actually continue on, give birth, and so on. They're not the chunkiest cows in the world, because there's no pasture, but they've learned, they've adapted, and eat the little grasses and so on the sides of the coast, so it's pretty amazing. On that island, that's not my story, that's just warming up. Okay, so on that island, we take a Zodiac, and we go over to this island, Beth and I and my cousin Allison, and we go on this little hike, because we want to see this tree. I saw a couple of big trees, but this is apparently, if not the oldest tree in Canada, it's one of the oldest. And it's a great cedar. And they estimate it to be 1,800 years old. And it goes from Cheryl, easy, to...
You're exaggerating.
I'm exaggerating? You didn't walk around the tree, Beth. I'll talk to you when you get home. All right. From Cheryl, easy, to Bonnie. Do you agree with that or not? Beth, you don't know how to tell a story, man. You are too caught up in the literary words of literature. Forget it. It's easy, the size of this church, okay? I mean, it's massive. Big. Pretty cool. So lots of stuff like that on the West Coast. So we give thanks for those kinds of opportunities. Very big tree. Very wide. 1,800 years old, Beth. Almost the time of Christ, Beth. Anyway. So I thought, for a variety of reasons, we'd look at Joshua for a few weeks. We're not going to go verse by verse. We're looking at some themes from the book. And I'm calling it New Beginnings. Because for the people of Israel, of course, it was a huge beginning. They've been in the desert of Sinai for 40 years, led by Moses. And they've been traveling. You see, that map's a little hard to see where you folks are at, but all those red markings there are their journeys, and they're essentially going in circles for 40 years, led by Moses. And when Moses dies, Joshua becomes the leader, and the Lord tells them, okay, now is the time. And so right at that spot, they come up the east side of the Dead Sea, which is the lowest point in the entire earth, and they're going to cross the Jordan into the Promised Land right at that area. So it's a new beginning on a variety of levels. Joshua is obviously the successor, but the note of Moses dying is more than just a chronological, oh, Moses died. It's setting up the story of a division between the time of being in the desert, which in some ways was seen as a time of disobedience, because the people spent so much time grumbling and not in a spirit of gratitude as we've been focusing this morning. So much so that the Lord says, hey, you guys, you're not even going to make it into the new land. So when Moses dies, Joshua becomes the leader. It's a new generation, and the new generation are the ones who are going to go into the land. So it's more than just a time Moses died. It's setting up a whole movement in the history of Israel as they are now going to go into the Promised Land, the land of Canaan. And it's all about gift, really. The land is gift. It's this combination that the people are going to have to work hard, be courageous and strong, as we're going to see. But it's really gift. And so in our verses, you'll note the repetition of, I have given this land to you. So you work hard, but fundamentally it's gift. And so I think in our lives that paradigm continues. It is gift, but we have to work hard. Our lives are gifts, right? We receive life. We come into the world. We have nothing to do with it. It's an act. Our parents essentially give us this gift. God gives us this gift of life. We just receive it. And it's a beautiful thing that we've been given. It's a precious thing. And so with this life, God gives us so many opportunities. He's giving Israel opportunities. He's given us opportunities. It's new beginnings. New beginnings where we can be grateful. The fall typically is a time of new beginnings. Kids go back to school. Some of our youth are going to higher grades in high school, or they're going off to university. That's a big change. Some people here are starting new jobs. Others maybe have new opportunities in their family. So how do we receive this time of newness? The church. We're coming to a time where we're going to have to review some opportunities with the land next door. It's an opportunity. It's a new beginning in some ways. So how do we receive these times? So for all of us, I think there is an element of that. New beginnings in your life. And so I think we can learn from Joshua. I think we can hear from this ancient book of how it might speak to us. So that's one of the reasons why I'm choosing that as we go forward. So we start that statement, be strong and courageous. That happens three times in the text. This is a charge of God to Moses. 4 points, really, that flow from this verse, nine verses of God's command. And the first one is a statement of encouragement. Encouragement. Be strong and courageous. I started teaching at Tyndale this week in an evening program, Christian Life and Discipleship, the course is, and this course is for individuals who have started school, university somewhere, have stopped, and now they're going to go back and finish a degree. So they tend to be students, late 20s, 30s, even 40s. And starting a university course when you haven't been there for a while can be an overwhelming experience. We've got some new students in there. It seems like, wow. The prof starts talking about all the books you've got to read. They start talking about all the assignments you got to do. You got to write papers. Man, I haven't written a paper in 20 years, the person says. Now I'm going to write a paper. You just start feeling the stress levels going up. You know what I mean? You're sitting there and you're thinking, man, I think I can still get out of this. I should just quit now and get my money back and forget it. It's a challenge. And so the students have to be, you know, encouraged that, no, you can do it. You can do it. New job, you can do it. Seems overwhelming at the beginning. You can do it. So that's the sense of be strong and encouragement. Two sense of dimensions, I would say, of it. One is you actually have to be courageous. The story is told in Numbers 13, when Moses is still alive, that 12 spies are sent into the land. You remember that story? And the 12 spies go in there and they see that indeed it is a land of plenty, but also that the peoples who are there are very big, very strong, and they call them giants. When they come back and report, there are giants over there, the Nephilim, which is even bigger than that. These super creatures are over there. So yeah, there are lots of good stuff, but I don't think we should go. The majority of the spies said, you know what, the desert's not so bad. Let's just stay on the other side and just give up. Joshua was one of those 12, and Joshua has seen it, but and he's also seen the challenges. So now they are going to go ahead, but they face some challenges. So, you know, we do need to be strong. We do need to be courageous. A new opportunity next door, that you gotta work hard at that. A number of our people have worked extremely hard on this. But we have to keep doing that. We all have to do that. Be strong and courageous in your own life, your own families. So there's that aspect. But the primary aspect of it is actually to depend and lean on God. That is really the root of be strong and courageous. Depend on God. You can look at those Psalm texts that are mentioned. To trust in God, to depend on Him, to lean on the promises that have been given to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to Joseph, years and years before. Lean on those and receive them, so that you can indeed go in. That's the advice that the Lord is giving Joshua at this point, and I think continues to give to us today. So yeah, we work at heart, we're strong, we try our best, need some courage for sure, but you have to lean and depend on God all the way. That's the invitation, and that's what's really happening. The two main verbs are to proceed and be strong and to recognize that indeed the land is a gift. It's a gift. I'm going to give you this land, but you're going to have to work hard to take it. But nevertheless, it is a gift. And I think it reminds us of the power of gift in our own lives. That so much we have is given. So much is just God has been good to us. We don't earn it in many ways. I was listening to a new album this summer when I was on the road. I figured I need a couple of road CDs for the road, right? 5,000 Ks out, 5,000 back. I drove my little Fit. Honda makes a nice little car, the Fit, let me tell you that, okay? Got me out there and got me back. So I got a couple of road CDs, and one of them was James Taylor has a new album, first album he's done in about 12 years, and it's all about being on the road. And one of his songs is about the debt I owe. The debt I owe is so great. He recognized that he's messed up. Interesting insight from him. The debt I owe, the damage I've done, he says. The damage I've done, the debt I owe. That's often where we're at. The damage we've done. The debt we owe. And nevertheless, God is good to us. He gives us so much to receive the gift. So I hope today you'll write something down on your card and you'll put it on the back. We need to hear from one another of God's goodness to us. And do we have a grateful heart or not? This was the problem with Israel in the desert, right? They had hard hearts. They weren't grateful. They were taken out of slavery. They had been in slavery in Egypt for 400 years. And they just get out there and they want to go back because it's tough life in the desert. Can we be grateful? So the beginning of the charge is indeed, be strong and courageous. Have encouragement. I'm going to be with you. That's the first piece. The second piece, as we read on, is about mission and purpose. I've got something for you to do over there. And it is to possess the land. The word possess is also translated as inherit. You will inherit the land. You will receive the land. God's claim on that land is far, far earlier than any people group that's in there right now. God's claim is there. This is your inheritance. And in the New Testament, that word comes over and speaks to us of our inheritance. Here, of being children of God and also eternal, the eternal inheritance of eternal life and knowing Him. That's the beauty. But you are to cross and you are to do something. You are to be God's representatives. There's an ark in the Old Testament, and the ark is that I love you, that I care for you, and I want you to share that love with all those around. It's a reciprocal love. I love you, and I want you to love me and spread that love around so that the whole area might know my love. They are to be lights to the whole area. That's the invitation. That's what God asks of the people. Of course, the people have a hard time doing it. They don't do it. But we are invited to be representatives. And not just in terms of talking about God or talking about Jesus, but about your life. That you have a mission, you have a purpose, that God has something for you to do. He wants you to engage and be His representative in how you live and how you talk, how you engage with people at work, how you are with your neighbors. All of that is your primary mission, your primary purpose, your vocation. So your deepest vocation is not your 40-hour week, your work week, whatever you do. That's something that's important. You need to make a living. But that's not what it's really all about. Finally, it is about this deeper mission, this deeper vocation, your calling, vocare, your calling. And that calling is to be light for others. This church is to be a light to the community, not just a place where people go and have programs and some institutional. That's not the point. It's us engaging and being light to others, and that's the mission and purpose that the children of Israel are given. I think that's a beautiful thing. That we have a fundamental calling, doesn't matter who we are. All of us here in Weston Park Baptist Church this morning, we all have a calling, we all have a mission, we all have a purpose. Cardinal Newman, who was the vicar at St. Mary's the Virgin Church in Oxford, Beth and I have had a chance to be there, an ancient church. And Newman was the vicar there in the 1800s, and he writes this: God has created me to do some definite service. He has committed some work to me which he has not committed to another. I have my mission. I never may know it in this life, but I shall be told it in the next. He says, somehow I am necessary for his purposes, as necessary in my place as the archangel in his. I have a part in this great work. I am a link in the chain, a bond of connection between persons. He has not created me for naught. I shall do good. I shall do his work. He carries on. But all of us have an important piece. We think of the archangels. Wow, man, now they've got a job to do. No, we all have a job to do. And that is part of this mission, this purpose that God has. And he certainly has a mission and purpose for Israel as they go into the promised land. So they are encouraged. I think Joshua is encouraged. He's reminded that, hey, we have something that God wants us to do. And thirdly, there is assistance. Beautiful verse that I shall be with you. Verse 5, I will never forsake you. No one shall be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Note, I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous. Those are the words. I will never forsake you. I will never leave you. It's an amazing promise. It's interesting, if you look closely at the text, the Hittites are mentioned as one of the foes. Well, if you read the histories of those nations, the Hittites were a very strong empire. Went all the way up into modern Turkey, Anatolia. The Hittites were huge. And God is saying, not even the Hittites we'll be able to stand. Why? Because I am with you. So it's a statement of presence. I am with you. I am with Joshua, and I am with you. Jesus says, the last words he says to his disciples, Matthew 28, is I will be with you for always. I will always be with you. And so for you and for me in our own lives and the issues we face, we can think we stand alone, and maybe that's how we live our lives. It's just me. Me, my family, whatever I do, it's up to us to face whatever we face. But what the scriptures are encouraging us is that God is with us and he's there for us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And whatever our realities, when children are born, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Seniors who are getting older and face challenges, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Going into retirement, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Well, those are beautiful words, don't you think? So we're invited to be encouraged by those, that God is with us. He is present with us. This is fundamentally what the charge is about to Joshua. You are not on your own. I will be with you. My presence goes with you. And for us as believers, we are told, I mean, the Holy Spirit, that's the whole point, if you like, of the Holy Spirit, is that God is with us. He is present with us. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Spirit is the one who indwells us, speaks to us, moves us on a daily basis as we are aware, as we open up. The Spirit in us, His presence. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. So we need to be encouraged by those words. We need other people to tell us that. We need to keep saying it to ourselves. Good little prayer each morning is, I belong to you. I belong to you. There's a writer, Postum, in his book, Space for God. He suggests every morning for 5 minutes, just sit in quiet and just say to yourself, I belong to you. I belong to you. I am not alone. You will never forsake me. He is with us. If God loves us, if it is true that God loves us and he wants this reciprocal love, then that love is there for us at every situation. Even when you face your death, even in that last moment, when your last breath, you just barely have it, and then it's gone. Boom. Just like that. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So that is the invitation. How we need to hang on to that. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Whatever the realities we face. My sister-in-law, Marion, spent 2 weeks just recently in the refugee camps in Macedonia. And she went to volunteer. Earl was in England. He had bummed up his knee, couldn't do it. So Marion went, and she spent time in 3 camps in the Syrian camps, just out of Thessaloniki, Greece, Macedonia. And she was saying it was an extremely powerful experience. She went as Christian to help. 2 of the 3 camps were very responsive to her and other Christians who were helping. 1 camp, not so much. But it was interesting. She got to know people over those 2 weeks. And she got to know just a handful of young women in their 30s who were Christians. And she was showing me pictures of these young women. And I thought it was quite delightful. They had their tent, and they had called their tent Bethlehem. Wrote it out, Bethlehem. And inside the tent, they had painted a cross. So in that environment, they were just holding on that God is with me. You can imagine being a refugee. That's pretty tough, right, for everybody. Where are we going next? You're with your family. You have no idea. Honestly, they have no idea where they're going. And there they are. And they fortunately have food. They have water. It's provided. That's partly what she was doing. But they were finding encouragement in the fact that God was with them, that they were holding on. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. Even in those situations. The whole camps, all 3 camps, driven out because of violence. Murder and killing and bombs have left. And these young women were hanging on. And I tell you, people were wanting to know what they were about and what was giving them energy and strength. Nobody was giving them a hassle, man. They were talking, and their message was being received. Hey, I believe that God is with me. He won't forsake me. People want to hear that. People want to know. So I was really encouraged by talking to Marion about that. It's about assistance. And finally, there's this final piece in terms of, I don't know if this has gone to sleep, Cheryl, or there we go. I'm good. I'm all over it. Don't worry about it. Meditate on the law. Do not forget it. Keep it in your mind, heart, mouth at all times. So the fourth piece is that God will give direction. How? Through his word. Through the Torah. It's interesting. When we hear the word Torah, we usually think in terms of law. It's usually translated as law. But the original idea of Torah is what I have on the top. It is direction. It is pointing. It is indication. It's saying, this is the right path. Stay on that path. That's Torah. But if we follow it in the translations from language to language, note at the bottom, I just think this is interesting. Torah is Hebrew. Then it goes to nomos, which is Greek. Then it goes to Latin, which is lex. Comes to English, which is legal. Legality. And so this rich, beautiful word, Torah, which meant indication, pointing, this is your way, we end up receiving it as if it's just a legal law. It's way more than that. So the Torah is a way for your life. It is being in the mountains, man, and you can get lost, but you stay on the way, and you're going to be able to enjoy the vista and return. Because you're on the way. And that is what Torah is. I think that's a beautiful idea. So will we receive the Torah and will we meditate on it? And meditate there actually is the word is mumble. Will we murmur it? Will we mumble it? You see, the Jewish community at the Western Wall, or used to be called the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem, and they're often praying and they're mumbling. They're murmuring the words. The Torah comes from this text because that's what it means. So for us, it means to read, to study, to reflect. Let that word shape who you are, for me to let it to shape me. The Word of God is ancient text. It's a beautiful thing. To receive it as a way that can shape your life and my life, that's the encouragement. And as we receive it, we demonstrate our devotion to God, and not just for ourselves, but for all others. Because the Torah, if it's anything, is reminding us of the need for justice and caring for others, and not just about yourself. Why? Because God is a God of love. John says that God is love. It can be reduced finally to what? If you want to try to do that, God is love. So live in that love. Share that love with all others. It's one of the big things we want to do in the community is have something for all the peoples in the community. For everybody. Across from behind front lines, there's a mosque, an Ethiopian mosque, 250 families who are living their lives. And what we're trying to do with the community center is have something that is for everybody. A place where everybody can meet, center for the community. John has spent much time, and Dave Gelthard and Steve Rowley, Rob, many, on this concept of helping the community. Everybody who lives here. So that's the idea of the law, in that sense, the Torah. It's justice for everybody. So can we hear, can we receive? It's a shame when we don't read these ancient texts. It's a shame when we don't allow it to be part of us. We have to work a little harder at that, to allow it to be part of where we are. The Lord ends with this statement that you will prosper. You will succeed. Things will go well for you as you walk in this way. It will, he says. You will prosper. And the word prosper here doesn't specifically mean get wealthy. You might. But it's about really being in right relationship with God. It's so that I will open up to God. That's your calling, right? If God is real and he wants you to know him, then that's fundamentally your calling. To open up to that reality. And as I do that, then I live out this Torah. I live out this right relationship. So as we could read that, you can maybe take a look at that. A path that is right. To prosper in the intended sense is to live in the knowledge of one's proper place. That's what the writers are saying. So we have four pieces: encouragement, mission, assistance, and receiving, meditating on the word that God has for us. New beginning. So here we are, first Sunday back, second Sunday in September. I don't know what's going on in your life right now. Probably lots of good stuff and probably lots of challenges. And God is saying, hey, man, I'm there for you. I'm there to walk with you. Let's do it together. Let's face whatever this is together. May we hear, may we receive, may we say yes. In Jesus' name, amen.